This is a Kim Monson news briefing. Colorado union bill returns for third try after governor's veto. Democrats reintroduce the Worker Protection Act with no material changes after governor vetoed the same legislation in 2025. The bill cleared its first committee on a party-line vote as labor groups simultaneously gather signatures for a 2026 ballot measure. From Denver, Colorado, Colorado Democrats have reintroduced legislation to eliminate the state's unique two-election requirement for union formation, advancing the bill through its first committee, despite a veto promise from the governor who blocked an identical measure last year. House Bill 26-1005, the Worker Protection Act, passed the House Business Affairs and Labor Committee on February 5th by an 8-5 party-line vote, according to Colorado Politics. The hearing lasted roughly 3 hours, according to KOAA. The bill then advanced through the House Finance Committee on February 12th by a 10-1 vote and now awaits action in the House Appropriations Committee. The bill would repeal a provision of Colorado's 1943 Labor PSAKT that requires a second election with a 75% or a majority of the entire E, whichever is greater, before unions can negotiate mandatory dues agreements. Colorado's two-election requirement for union security is unique among all states, according to KUNC. Governor vetoed the same legislation, the numbered Senate Bill 25005 in May 2025, after it passed the Senate 2212 in the House by more than 20 votes. He told the Colorado Sun in January that he would veto the bill again if it arrives on his desk unchanged. Governor said, "There's nothing different, so I'm not quite sure why they're doing it again." On the question of a bill unchanged and a political landscape in motion, House Bill 26-1005 contains no material changes from the version Governor vetoed, according to the Sum and Substance. The bill is sponsored by Representative V, Democrat of Denver, Representative Jennifer T. Guy, Democrat of Denver, Senator Jesse, and Senator Cieces, with dozens of additional co-sponsors. The governor's spokesperson, Eric C., said governor is frustrated and surprised that the same piece of legislation could come forward, according to the Colorado Times Recorder. Yet sponsors say the policy case remains urgent. Representative told the Sum and Substance, the affordability crisis did not go away. There aren't other bills that are evidence-based that you could say would increase wages across the state. House Speaker Julie, Democrat of CIA, expressed cautious optimism, telling Colorado Politics that she is hearing a willingness to try again from both business and labor partners, according to Colorado Politics. The political dynamics have shifted in one notable respect. This is governor's final term, and 2026 is an election year. Administration sources have hinted he might reconsider if a genuine compromise emerges, according to the Sum and Substance. During the 2025 session, governor was reportedly open to reducing the 75% threshold while keeping it above a simple majority, but a compromise was not reached before the session ended, according to the Colorado Sun. Turning to labor's case, the second election as a delay tactic. Supporters argue the second election serves no purpose other than giving employers additional time to discourage union formation. Representative told KOAA that the second election provides employers an opportunity to intimidate, to union bust, according to KOAA. Senator Julie A., Democrat of Denver, a co-sponsor of prior versions, told KUNC when workers decide to form a union, the decision ought to be respected every single time. According to KUNC, workers who testified at the committee hearing offered firsthand accounts. Josh, an cinema employee in Denver, told the committee that Alamo workers won their first union election in September 2024, but lost the second vote. Workers described lost momentum from attrition, and fellow employee Brennan Degenhart reported not receiving a ballot, according to KOAA. Told the committee, "We deserve a say. We deserve a place in that conversation." Kylie Anderson, a barista and union member, testified that this law does not protect freedom. It protects corporate power, according to KUNC. A worker covered by a union contract earns 10.2% more in wages than workers in the same industry with the same education, job title, and experience, according to the Colorado Fiscal Institute, a fiscal policy research organization. Colorado's union membership rate of 7.7% falls 22% below the national average of 9.9%, according to the Economic Policy Institute, a research organization focused on the economics of low and middle-income workers. Under the Federal National Labor Relations Act, no second election is required. Once workers vote by simple majority to form a union, they can immediately begin negotiating union security provisions. Colorado's law imposes an additional state-level hurdle beyond what federal law requires, looking at business opposition and the question of protecting workers and competitiveness. Business groups have united against the bill, calling it a threat to both worker choice and the state's economic competitiveness. Stacy Campbell, representing the Colorado Chamber of Commerce, suggested the bill is a solution in search of a problem and questioned why advocates would not want all employees to vote on whether to pay union dues, according to CBS Colorado. Michael Smith, state director of the National Federation of Independent Business, an organization that describes itself as the voice of small business, said in a statement that for Main Street employers who already have an onerous regulatory landscape to navigate, removing the second vote requirement would make it more difficult to manage their workforce, control costs, and plan for the future, according to the National Federation of Independent Business. JJ, president and CEO of the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce, called it reckless to unravel the labor PSAKT. The chamber cited data showing Colorado's average annual employment growth rate of 1.5% between 2018 and 2023 was more than three times that of non-right-to-work states, according to the Denver Metro Chamber. The chamber also reported that Metro Denver EDC recruited over 2,500 jobs and secured $1.25 billion in capital investment in the past year. Sonia, president and CEO of the Colorado Restaurant Association, told the committee that the bill directly harms workers by eliminating their voting rights. She reported that restaurant industry members who opposed the 2025 version faced significant backlash, including threats, harassment, and property damage. Told the committee, someone threw a rock through the window of one establishment during dinner service. Representative Chris Richardson, Republican of EE, who voted against the bill in committee, framed the second election as a free association issue. Richardson told KOAA, it's the compelling of dues from other employees that takes the second vote. A management-side labor and employment law firm described the bill as among the most significant proposed legislation affecting Colorado employers, according to KOAA. Under current law, if the second election fails or is never held, union dues remain voluntary, turning to the ballot measure fallback. Labor groups are not relying solely on the legislature. Following the May 2025 veto, unions launched a parallel effort to bring a related measure directly to voters. Initiative 43, filed March 7, 2025, and approved for signature circulation the following month, would require employers with more than 8 employees to show before firing or suspending a worker. The measure is backed by Colorado Worker Rights United, a coalition of approximately 80 unions, community organizations, and small businesses, including the Colorado AFL-CIO, SEEIU, Local 105, and UFCW Local 7, according to Colorado Newsline. Organizers need at least 124,038 valid signatures from registered Colorado voters by August 3, 2026, to place the initiative on the November ballot, according to the Colorado Secretary of State. Dennis Kalki, executive director of the Colorado AFL-CIO, said after the 2025 veto, "While this veto is a setback, it's not the end of the road." He said working people would take the fight directly to the ballot in 2026, according to Colorado Newsline. The Denver Metro Chamber has indicated it may pursue its own counter-ballot measures to protect the labor peace AKT if unions proceed, according to the Denver Metro Chamber. On the question of what happens next, the bill's path forward remains uncertain. House Bill 26-1005 is expected to pass the Democratic-controlled House and Senate, as it did in 2025. The principal question is whether governor will veto it a second time, or whether election year dynamics and a viable compromise shift his calculus. Preventing the Worker Protection Act from passing remains the top priority of business interests at the Capitol, according to the Colorado Sun. Colorado ranks as the sixth most regulated state, and business groups cite the Labor Peace AKT as one of the few factors that offset that disadvantage, according to the Sum and Substance. And now, Kim's perspective. Colorado's Labor Peace AKT has worked for more than 80 years. The second election requirement exists for a straightforward reason. Before a union can compel dues from every worker in AI, those workers should get a direct say. Not a theoretical say, not a say that gets lost in the momentum of an organizing campaign. A real separate vote with a high bar of support. That is not a delay tactic. That is a safeguard. The federal NLRA process is one election, yes, but Colorado chose decades ago to give workers an additional layer of protection, and that choice has served this state's labor peace and economic growth well. If this policy is so popular, why are its supporters afraid of a second vote? And if workers genuinely want mandatory dues, why would they not meet the 75% threshold? The question answers itself. When legislators move to strip away a safeguard that protects workers' own choices, ask yourself who that really serves. This article is available at kimmonson.com. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson News Briefing.